Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Apps for cooking outside.
Ooh, and I'm going to make the earth move and the sky and the water and whatever else is around.
And you can outrun the Grammar Police.
The Grammar Police.
With an app.
Mm-hmm. It's time for iOS Today. Chicago is iOS really, really early in the morning.
You should specify that it's early in the morning. I just haven't bored you to yawning.
No, it's early in the morning because it is our new time. And if you want to watch live or join us in the studio, just remember 9 a.m. Pacific. 9 a.m. I haven't been up since at 9 a.m. since I had a job. Noon Eastern time, 1600. What is 9 a.m. in UTC? So we're 7 hours, 1600 UTC. And we are glad you're here because this is the show where we cover iPad, iPhone, iOS, stuff like Apple TV. And I'm leaving something out, Apple Watch.
And maybe even a little HomePod too, which also runs iOS.
I think that we just learned that this week, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And the firmware, people have been dissecting the firmware for the the HomePod. And it turns out it's running iOS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So we're going to have one sitting right there and talk about it come December when you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited about the HomePod?
It's a little expensive for my taste.
Yeah.
And my house currently is blanketed with Amazon Echoes, quite literally. So what would I? And I'm not the kind of person that says like, oh, that speaker is amazing and that speaker stinks. Like, it all sounds fine.
I find we have Sonos everywhere. We spend a lot of money on Sonos, but you do it a little at a time. You know, you buy one speaker, then you, I got to have another one. And pretty soon you've got 15 speakers all over the house. And so that's thousands of dollars. They're very expensive. And I notice we don't use them much anymore because it's so convenient to talk to the Amazon Echo and have it play music, or if you have a Google Home. So I think the Home Hub is going to do quite well because it's supposedly a very good speaker. The people who heard it at Apple's announcement at WWDC said it sounded very good. And very good is good enough, you know. Somebody said it's not quite as good as a Sonos. It's good enough. And so I find that the convenience of speaking to the device outweighs the actual sound quality. Isn't that weird?
It is. Oh, sorry. We'll talk about that in a minute.
It made a sound.
It did make a sound. Well, this is how little I care about the sound. I installed the Echo before in my parents' house over the weekend, which I think we're going to show off on the screensavers this weekend if it fits into the schedule. But it has Amazon Voice services inside it. So inside the thermostat, it will actually play music if you ask, Echo to play.
Wait a minute. The thermostat goes...
It has like a tiny speaker.
Can't sound very good.
It's fine. It's fine because I asked it to play Beyonce and it plays.
Is your thermostat listening to music? That's so strange.
Yeah, it is.
I care a little bit more about the quality. I guess my point is a couple of our dots are connected to, powered speakers, so they sound good. And the Echo, what is it? The show, the one with the screen, the show has actually very good speakers, relatively good. So I feel like the Home Hub, unless Sonos hurries up, they were supposed to by January have Echo integration. That has not happened. I'm thinking it may not happen. In which case, Apple's going to have a green field to enter and plow.
Mm-hmm.
So today we are actually not covering the Home Hub, but we are covering something you might be doing now that August is here: cooking out.
Mm-hmm.
I have integrated two technologies for my outdoor cooking. And yesterday we made a fabulous tri-tip, but before I grilled it, the hard part about grilling, and as a man, I know that that's my job. All fire is my job in the house.
Mm-hmm.
No. Are you in charge of grilling? Marco is.
I am not in charge of any cooking, whether it involves
Marco
fire
does all the
or
cooking.
Cutting things, or he does all the...
Nice.
Occasionally I'll get in there, and then my kids are frightened, and they, run out. And
Lisa's a great cook, but I'm kind of the cook in the house.
Yeah.
And I recently got into something called sous vide, S-O-U-S-V-I-D-E, which is the griller's best friend. So here's the problem. When you're grilling a meat, a chicken or a steak or whatever, you have to cook the outside enough so that the inside gets to a safe temperature, right? And if it's, say, medium rare, that would be, for a steak, about 135 degrees. But the problem is, by the time the inside, especially if it's thick, like a big chicken breast or a thick prime steak, by the time it's cooked, the outside is, it's kind of charred. And so there's a lot of manipulation. So there's two ways you can approach this. We're going to show you both. One, of course, is with something like the iGrill, which we'll show you in a second, which is a temperature probe that goes in the meat. And my iGrill has two probes, one for the how hot the grill is, and then how hot the meat is. And I'll tell you why you might want that. But the other solution is this sous vide solution, which a lot of restaurants use. It's kind of cooking before you cook. So the idea is you use a water bath at a very constant temperature, and you can get a sous vide, they call them recirculators, that heat the water and keep it at a very constant temperature for a long period of time, inexpensively. The one I got, the Anova, is very, very popular. And in fact, the Anova app is what I'm going to talk about today. Anova has Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. And so you can keep an eye on the cooker. You set the temperature. In this case, you'd set it for 135 degrees. What you want, if I'm going to make a medium rare steak, right? You put the steak in there for an hour. The entire steak is cooked to 135 degrees. Now, it's ugly because there's no none of that beautiful charcoal grilling, you know, crust and you don't, so, but it's cooked. I did this with a tri-tip, which is really thick, right? And I cooked it to 131 degrees, so it was fully cooked. And by the way, it's food safe because even though it's a lower temperature, it's been at that temperature, in my case, for 6 hours. That's enough to kill the bacteria. So it's food safe. And then I fired up the grill, and I didn't have to worry about it. I didn't even have to use the iGrill because I got a really hot grill, and I just seared it. It took a minute or two. Actually, I did, I think, 4 minutes on each side just to cook the outside because the inside was done. And it came out beautifully. It was rare, medium rare inside. Nice and delicious on the outside. So that's a trick. And so Anova, A-N-O-V-A, has an app. I don't actually know if I have it on here. I have it on my phone. I'll show it on the phone. So, and it's not going to do much right now because, unfortunately, I have the Bluetooth Anova, which is the less expensive Anova. If you get the more expensive Anova, the new one has Wi-Fi, which means I could cook from here. But I don't really think I'm going to do that.
No.
It's nice because it has a lot of recipes to get started. That's the little device there at the bottom.
What if you don't eat steak, or can you like a poach an egg? Is that an egg up
there?
That
is an egg. And by the way, the best sous vide makes the best eggs Benedict you've ever had because it's really interesting. You put the eggs in the sous vide at a lower temperature than you would to hard boil it, and they come out a lovely soft. Somewhere in between hard-boiled and poached, they're perfect. Perfect. And that's the point, is you control that temperature very precisely. So it says it's lost connection. But if I were in vicinity of my Anova cooker, the Bluetooth would tell me what the current temperature is, what it's going for, and the timing on the cooking. And I can then see and get alerts on my phone so that I know when it's done. The negative on sous vide is you have to. There's some prep time, considerable prep time. The tri-tip I had to put in for 6 hours. But if you seal it in a vacuum sealer and then put it in and cook it, you can put it in the fridge afterwards, which I did for a few days, until I was ready to grill it. So I was able to cook, you know, have it ready and then cook it very, very quickly. So this is why restaurants invented sous vide. Because when you go in a restaurant, you want a perfect steak, whether it's well or medium or rare. How do they get it that way so quickly and get it to your table? Well, they have, in many cases, they have a refrigerator full of steaks cooked to all the different temperatures. And all I have to do is put it under the broiler, broil it quickly, literally in minutes, and they can come to you perfectly cooked. The secret of fine restaurants anywhere. So
Starbucks also does that. I just remember
they used sous vide
eggs there.
Yes,
they're delicious.
And aren't they good?
Yes.
It's a different. Well, you can make it hard boiled. You can make it soft boiled. You can make it poached. But it has a very nice. It's almost a custard consistency,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the best way to cook eggs, but it's much more time consuming.
So to cook a hard boiled egg, how long would it take with a sous vide?
You know, I should look it up in the recipes. They have a complete guide in here. Let's look at eggs. Hard-boiled egg, it's 160 degrees for 45 minutes.
Now, what?
That's Okay. Right? Now, you know you can cook perfect hard-boiled eggs by putting eggs in a pot of cold water, mm-hmm. bringing it to a boil, turning it off, and letting it sit for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot faster to do it that way.
But it would teach us patience and mindfulness and, you know, calm.
Well, the cool thing about this is
for a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah, I know. But you can do a dozen of them, and you can do it, and you don't have to think about it. You just put it in, and you don't have to think about it. So, yeah, I know that's crazy. Now, if we're going to make a poached egg for our Eggs Benedict, it's the same time, 45 degrees, because you have to cook it all the way through, but it's a lower temperature. See, it's 145 degrees. So temperature and time are the keys to sous vide. This is Anova's app, but all the sous vide products. In fact, I've got one ordered that I'm called the Mellow. That's going to be very interesting. That has Wi-Fi also. And what that will let me do is, at work, the Mellow both cools and heats. So you could put your meat in there. This is the problem with sous vide. You have to be home an hour before dinner or 2 hours before dinner, right? With the Mellow, I'll be able to have the whatever I'm cooking in the Mellow, chilling it, because the Mellow can both heat and cool. And then I can set it up from here. Okay, start now. I'm going to be home in 5 hours. But that's not out yet, so I'll let you know when that comes. But anyway, if you want to try this, you can get an Anova fairly inexpensively. I got it during Amazon Prime Day for $99. It's, I think, a little more now, $130. And then they have a very nice app. And if you get the Wi-Fi one, you can control your Anova, or at least check in on it from work, from somewhere else. Anova, the Anova. And this is their app, which has recipes and so forth.
So speaking of recipes, my my favorite cooking app is Delish, which, as I mentioned, I don't do a lot of cooking. So it's a lot of just looking and then saying, here, could you please cook
Looking's
this for me,
easier
husband?
Than cooking.
So there's a lot of outdoor cooking. We can type in grilling. It's better on the iPhone. I saved some pages. They're in the dock there. Kevin, I think you can take a look at some of the grilling things in the... So 34 surprising things you can make over a campfire.
That's a surprise.
So this is like for camping food. Did you know you can just like wrap stuff up in foil and put it on the fire?
I do that with corn all the time. It's fabulous.
You know you can cook ice cream with Reese's cones.
That's not exactly cooking.
That would kill me.
You can put it on the fire. Look click on
what?
That. Get the recipe from
Delish. On the fire? You can't make ice cream on the fire. What are you,
you can
insane?
Melt it. Say, get the recipe from Delish. It's right there. Yeah.
Okay. What the what?
Look, should we watch there? How to make you
is this,
just
why
grill?
Is this a is this is Comedy Central? Oh, it's Steve Carell is doing it. So you put peanut butter in an ice cream cone. You put Reese's Pieces. Okay, you put miniatures. You put March. Oh, there's no ice cream involved.
It's like a s'more.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
you wrap
cream.
It in tin foil and you just throw it on the grill. That does look quite good.
I'm totally doing that.
And how many minutes? Is it just a few minutes? Yeah. And look at that.
Reese's
cones.
Sorry, I said it was ice cream. It's not.
Well,
it
who
looks
needs,
like ice cream.
You don't need the ice cream.
It's like a s'more.
You cone do it, they say.
You cone do it.
Wow.
So that's the kind of cooking I like.
That would put
I'm
me
I'm going to totally set a fire in my office
coma.
And make that right after this show. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a special place, a little place in the middle of your carpet, which was ruined by an experiment Padre did. You just put the campfire there.
Awesome.
It's already ruined.
So, yeah, Delish, that's an app. Better on your iPhone than on your iPad.
Well, if you're going to talk cooking apps, of course, if you're doing outdoor grilling, there are a lot of great cooking apps. I have a whole section of food apps. We've mentioned sometimes on the show before Big Oven and Joy of Cooking, my June Oven, New York Times. This is a really good one, the New York Times Cooking. This is actually a more recent cooking. Oh, it now requires a subscription. Well, the heck with you then.
You don't have a subscription. You have a subscription.
Oh,
to
I
New
do
York
have
Times.
A subscription, so that's okay. How do you know that?
Well, because I.
Did you steal my Sunday paper this week?
Okay.
Was that you?
I get my own Sunday paper delivered,
okay.
Which is another
How about
story
this
entirely.
One?
But
no
I
grill,
log into
problem?
Your online account.
Really?
That's why you don't have
so
access to it.
This is kind of interesting because I know some of you don't, you live in apartments, so you don't have anywhere to grill. This is a whole section in the New York Times app, which is at least free for a while, where you can indoor make indoor s'mores, indoor smoked salt and pepper beef ribs. You want to make s'mores indoors? Wow.
Yes.
It's all here. Preheat broiler. You just do it on the broiler. So this is, I didn't realize we could do recipe
You didn't?
I mean, my goodness, there's a, well, you know, and this is one of my favorites. The other one we've talked about before as well is paprika. This is more for storing your recipes in here. And one of the things I love about paprika is you can go to a food site. Let me go to, I don't know, Betty Crocker. Oh, wait a minute, Delish. I should go to Delish, right?
Mm-hmm.
D-E-L-I-S-H. Is that it?
Yep.
Yep. I'm going to go to Delish. Let's say I decided I want that crazy recipe. Wow, it's actually, well, wait a minute. Actually, you know, I want to do some slow cooking. Heaven in a crock pot, okay? Heaven in a crock pot. Let's do crock pot chicken and dumplings. That's kind of a, not really, that's more of a comfort food. But if I go onto the Delish site and get the recipe, hello. Why is it not popping up? I'll show you a really cool Twick. Oh, here it is. Here's a really cool Twick. Wait a minute. This is a restaurant. Okay, the really cool trick. I wanted the recipe. Get the recipe from Delish, but it doesn't seem like its links are working. If you go to a site that has recipes, like Betty Crocker, there you go. So, how about foil cooked chicken and lump of meat? I don't know what. I don't know.
With corn on top.
With, it's a taco burger in potato foil packs. Okay, I don't. So you, this is, we were just talking about this, right? So finally, I got a recipe. Good Lord. Okay. So recipes have what in them? Class. They have ingredients, right? And steps and instructions. This one has a lot of other stuff. How could I possibly, what am I going to cut and paste? No, I just press on, this is a fabulous program. What's it called? I forgot. Epicure?
Epicurious?
No, paprika.
Paprika.
And I, and look at that. I pressed save recipe, and I'm going to create a recipe with this. Watch this. This is so cool. Now it knows the name. Well, it didn't really work. Wait a minute. Did it work? Oh, it's downloading. It will actually divide it up into a way. There we go. So now I have the instructions here. I have the ingredients here. I have a nutrition. It extracted this from the website. How much it takes to cook, how long the prep time is. And so now in my recipe box, I can, this is the best thing in the world. Import recipes. Let's see the most recent. Here it is. Oh, I did it twice. That is a, this is the traditional recipe format with the ingredients, nutritional info, directions, even a picture. It pulled that all in off the webpage. And it even gives it a link. So that's, you don't have to feel like you're stealing it. So this is how you can build. And look what I've done. I have really built my recipes. And many of these are from various websites where you could just import them in. And now I have my own recipe book. This is a wonderful way. Let's say I want to make eggplant roll-ups. It's all here. You can even do a shopping basket. So I can add different things I want to cook to my shopping basket. And here's the grocery list divided up very handily into produce, condiments, spices. So I know what aisle to go. This couldn't be easier. I've got the ingredients for eggplant roll-ups and hermit cookies in my...
Ooh.
I know, aren't hermits good? Do you remember those?
No. What's a hermit cookie?
Oh, Lord above. It's soft, it's chewy, it's spicy, it's
sounds
delicious.
Good.
Yeah.
I'll make those on my fire. I'm going to set in my office.
And you see all the ingredients right here. So that's kind of handy. Anyway, that's paprika. So if you're going to allow me to include those, there's some really great recipes.
Okay, I will allow. Well,
you will allow?
Evan Dunn also recommended an app called Drop, which appears to be able to connect to your scale, like a drop scale or also a drop Bosch oven. But I have that here on my screen. Here's some grilling, some mushrooms. This is the kind of stuff I like to grill on the grill.
Mushrooms are wonderful grilled.
Yeah, so you can share that on social media. I guess it can teach you how to... look at that, all the ingredients and how to make it. Oh, this is the kind of cooking app I need. It's very specific.
Now we're talking.
And this is also what I need to be able to check off, because when I'm making recipes, I always forget something.
Who doesn't?
And then I can take a picture of it.
Yeah.
Okay, do you have another? Because I have something else that's not a cooking... It's not a recipe
so
app.
The most popular grills, I have a big green egg, but the most popular grills in the world are the Weber grills. You know, those are the great Weber cookers. And so they have a fun. They first of all, they bought iGrill, which I'm going to show you in a second. But they have a very good. This is an excellent app for people who are new to grilling or want ideas for grilling. You don't have to have a Weber cooker to use these, but some of them do take advantage of the Weber seals, and so some of them take advantage of that. This is full of information, grill guides. If you want to cook flank steak, let's calculate the grilling time. This is a really nicely done, absolutely free app that gives you all the information you need, how to master gas, something many of you probably should be doing, how to master charcoal.
Do you cook with charcoal? Or?
I do. I cook with lump hardwood charcoal.
Whoa.
Yeah. Fruits and veggies. It's, you know, this is just, this is, Weber did a wonderful job, and you would think that this is all about selling Weber kettle grills, but it isn't. It isn't. They even, you know, they have lots of information about food prep, you know, how to prepare a salmon fillet. Grilling a salmon, tough thing to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you done that? It's very tough.
No.
But if you know what you're doing, it's not, and it's the best way to cook a salmon. So, yes, admittedly, I love this Weber Jr. That's a great little gas grill. Admittedly, it kind of focuses on their products, but it doesn't, but it's not, I wouldn't say any of this information is exclusive to their products. This is fantastic. Really nice job from Weber, the folks who do the Weber kettle. Oh, look at that. It's just burning the place up. And that's iOS, and it's free.
And it has an Apple Watch app.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know why? See the timer.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
That is the biggest, frankly, usefulness of these apps. And the Weber iGrill also does now.
Oh, look, I have this Apple Watch. I think I did do some planning for this. Look, there it is, the timers.
Oh, you were going to show this too.
Oh, look at that. They have little pictures. Can you see that, Kevin? Like I can make.
Yeah. I mean, you probably wouldn't want to do the meal planning on the Apple Watch, but it's very handy for timers.
I'm cooking a salmon right now.
Yeah. See? Perfect.
Oh, okay.
Because what happens, you don't want to stand around by the grill the whole time. You want to be able to wander off and do other things. This is the iGrill. This was made by a company called iGrill and apparently sold to Weber. I've had many iGrills over the years. This is a really clever idea. This is a temperature probe. Some iGrills have two probes. For instance, I use a Big Green Egg, which is kind of an oven grill. You want to know what the temperature of the oven is as well as the temperature of the meat. So it's got a probe for the meat and it has a probe for the oven. And then it connects to your iPad, your iPhone, or your Apple Watch to tell you what's going on. So I think this is another very useful tool because you can actually get alarms. You know, your grill is too hot right now. You can turn it down. There's all sorts of useful things. So that requires, and again, I'm not sitting next to a cooker with an iGrill on it, but I really quite like the iGrill. I've used that for years.
Eric on Twitter also recommends the Green Mountain Grill's Wi-Fi connected smokers.
A smoker, Green Mountain makes the best smokers. That's actually almost a must because smoking is one of those things where you want to keep it at exactly whatever, 250 degrees or 225. You're doing low and slow. So monitoring the temperature is critical. Now, Green Mountain makes electric smokers too, so that's a little bit easier. But if you have a smoker that's using coal, it's really tricky to keep an eye on it. It's better to use coal because then you get that great smoky stuff.
Yeah. Wi-Fi connected smoker. Isn't what a world.
It's huge. It's much better because you're still probably going to have to go out there. This is a pellet grill, which is kind of cool. You're still going to have to go out there maybe and adjust things to make it cooler or hotter. But it's nice to get that warning without having to sit right next to it. Very important.
So I also have another device. One somebody recommended that they use, you know, I use my Scala for cooking all the time.
Your Echo?
My Amazon Echo.
Yeah.
My Echo Dot or my Echo Show or the other numbers. But what if you want to use it when you're outside? You can't, maybe you have a plug outside, you have to unplug it.
I go, Echo! And then all the echoes in the house go, ba-ding! What?
Right. So it's this annoying. Is the Jam Voice. It is a portable Bluetooth speaker with Echo Voice Services, Amazon Voice Services concluded. And your mileage may vary with this. First of all, it has to be connected to the 2.4 gigahertz. Your phone, if you're going to pair with your phone, it doesn't work with 5. So okay. I haven't gotten to work here. I have gotten it to work at home. But that was the sound you heard it going off. So let me actually, the power button.
Now, how is this different from the Amazon Tap?
It's not really different than the Amazon Tap, except for...
There's also a battery-powered Echo.
Yeah.
It's a little smaller.
It is smaller, yes.
Yeah, I don't
tap
have a Tap,
big.
So I'm not a Tap expert.
So, yeah, here's what it looks like. You just turn it on, and then it connects to Wi-Fi.
It's probably cheaper, too.
Does the Tap... The Tap works anywhere, right? This will just work if it's connected to your Wi-Fi.
No, yeah, that's... you have to have some sort of...
You have to have some
connection,
Wi-Fi,
or there's
so.
what is it going to do?
Yeah,
just
so
sit there and go, what
it
do you
pairs
want?
With this app, the Jam Voice, which I will show you. That here it is. You set it up, and so like I said, you have to be connected. Let's set it up.
I think this is probably a better than the Tap because it sounds like it has the same functionality.
It does,
but
and
it's
you
smaller.
Can play Spotify through it. You can play. You can't play, I mean, you could pair your phone to it, so you can play Apple Music if you right. have Apple Music. You can actually send messages to it directly. So if you, you know, wanted to say, you know, come down for dinner, if this was up in your kid's room, you could just do that, which is nice. I don't think it will connect for me. Your mileage may vary for this. This is, I'm not sure how much the Tap costs. This one is...
Tap's $130.
This one is not that. Yeah. This one is about $60, I think. I know I have it.
And this is from Jawbone?
This is from Jam.
Oh, the Jam.
It's called Jam, not Jawbone.
I was going to say Jawbone went out of business, so I wouldn't want to get it from them.
$60 from Jam Audio. It's $50 on Amazon right now.
Oh, so that's less than half and smaller. Mm-hmm. You know what? That looks like a good solution.
Yeah.
So you could be outside and you have to tap it, though. Or no, it answers your voice.
No, you would say.
You could press it. Yeah.
You know, you press. And you
that's
could just say, what's
battery.
The weather? You don't have to say the. So,
speaker is not connected to Wi-Fi network.
Thank
I know.
You.
So thank that is a limitation that it has to be 2.4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It does.
Jam Voice for $60.
But yeah, on Amazon it was less. And if you are going to use it at home, you need to make sure your phone is connected to the 2.4 gigahertz or it will not pair. Like many of these devices that have Amazon Voice services on it, they are tricky. And sometimes it takes 4 or 5 times to set up. And it can be really frustrating.
Ooh, look, you can get it for $30.
Where?
On Amazon.
Really? $30? The Jam?
Yeah, it's on
Does it
sale
have, oh,
right now.
$30.
$28.47. Oh, that's used. You know, get a new one. Do yourself a favor.
So, yeah, if you're
$35 new,
and
that's
you
not bad.
Set, you know, because Echo will also be able to tell you, like, how long do I cook a steak? Yeah. How long do I cook chicken? It can tell you all those things.
$35.
So the
bucks.
Jam
Good deal.
Voice speaker. And I do like that you can play a message through it. Also, you can scare the cat or the dog if you want.
I just thought of something. It'd be really nice if the iGrill worked with the Echo and could talk to you and say, hey, your meat's done. Or something
I bet
like that
would happen soon. I mean, if it can...
Well, I don't know of a lot of devices that can... I don't know of any devices that can make the Echo talk. They have notifications now. That's a new thing that they've added. And your light, your rings goes orange, but you have to ask the Echo, what are the notifications? Mm. I don't think anything can make the Echo talk. I mean,
except if you
without
drop
your
in.
Intervention.
Yeah.
Be nice. Oh, drop-in will.
Yeah.
So maybe they can make an iGrill that drops in on
drops
you.
Drops in on you, yeah.
Hi, Leo. I just came in to say... Your cooker is a little warm right now. You might want to go out and check it.
So, okay, let's move on. I know you how you feel about Apple rumors. Did we cover what was hidden inside the firmware?
No, that's not a rumor. That's fact.
Okay.
So that's different.
Okay. So that is in the
that's
code.
Different.
It says that there will be facial recognition in...
It's kind of confirming all of the rumors about the new iPhone that we'd heard, including weird things like it doesn't look like there'll be a fingerprint reader under the screen... it's going to have face recognition. It doesn't say there's not going to be any fingerprint because it has to work with other phones, I guess. The Home Hub, right? The Apple Hub. But the firmware is telling us a lot about future iPhones. There's a knot. They had like images, I guess. There's an...
maybe for an infrared camera?
Yeah. Look at that. There
it is.
Read it and weep.
Obviously.
It's obvious. Look at it. There's the code. Wow.
Yeah.
How do they get the firmware, though? It's not open source.
I think they... they put it on an open server for some reason. It's in the developer. It's obviously a mistake.
Oh, was it a mistake?
I think it was a mistake. It had to have been a mistake. It was available. I don't think it's available anymore.
That's Ev Leaks. If you go back to his tweet.
I think that's Scott.
Steve T.
Steve Stratton.
Okay. Confirm reports the HomePod's firmware reveals the existence of the upcoming infrared face unlock and biometric kit and elsewhere. It's funny that I guess they have to put that support into the Home Hub.
The HomePod?
HomePod. Why keep calling it the Home Hub? It's the HomePod.
It is a Home Hub.
It's a hub for your pod.
It should.
Or your pod hub.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
HomePod.
I think that I love Windows Hello. It always recognizes me. It's fast. And that's facial scanning. And so I don't know why facial scanning won't work as well on the iPhone.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. The issue is that with face scanning, as we've seen it so far, you have to position the phone or the computer with Microsoft Hello. For instance, I have a Surface, and I have to, it's at an angle, right, when I'm mm-hmm. using it on the table.
Yeah,
I
have to
put it
down.
Upright or bend over it. And that would be a little bit of an annoyance if that's the only way to unlock your iPhone.
Really?
The rumor is that you're going to be able to have the iPhone just sitting like that, and it will see
it's
you.
It's just like, phew.
It will, like, somehow see you from every angle. But if you have to, do you ever do that where you have the iPhone on your table and you unlock it and use it?
Yeah.
So if you can't do that, you have to pick it up. That would be a little bit of a hardship. Or let's say you're in the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're driving and you want to have the iPhone in a dock.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, so we'll see. I don't think Apple would eliminate fingerprint and do face recognition unless they were confident that it would work kind of quickly. Very, very quickly, at least as quickly as Touch ID, and effectively, even if it's lying down or it's in a dock, I don't think they would do
it. You shouldn't be using it in the car anyway, right? I mean, that's not going to... Oh, I can't use my phone in the car. They're not going to solve that problem for you.
Well,
they're actually making it harder.
It's solving the same problem as having it on the conference table and unlocking it.
I have confidence. I am going to make a guess. Maybe we should do a wager. I'm going to guess that it's going to work like 78% of the time, and then it'll get better over time.
Okay. I'm going to make a wager that it will be, there's no way on their 10th anniversary iPhone that Apple puts a technology that doesn't work flawlessly 100% of the time. Mm. It has to. There will be many people who will try to crack it. And we've been able to crack face recognition in the Samsung Galaxy mm-hmm. S8, for instance, by taking a picture.
Well, there's
of somebody.
depth perception.
Well, hackers, this was the Chaos Computer Club in Germany, in Berlin. What they did is, and they demonstrated, you can watch the YouTube video, they took just a simple point and shoot camera, took a picture of a guy about 10 feet away on a bench, so you could do it surreptitiously, and got his face. Then it's really interesting, they projected it on a curved piece of paper to give it dimensionality, and it fooled the Samsung Galaxy mm. S8. Will Apple, Apple knows about this, will they be able to make something that isn't easily fooled? I don't know. You know, this is going to be fascinating, but we'll find out.
Well.
And these are the rumors, you know, now we're getting rumor mill mm-hmm. area. For instance, the latest from Ming-Chi Kuo, the latest rumor, is October,
mm.
not September. We've heard that there it's going to be late. Ming-Chi also said Apple doesn't want to be beholden to Samsung. You know, those two don't really like each other too much for the OLED screens that they'll be putting in the new iPhone. So they're pushing very hard on LG to up their production of OLED screens. So we're going to get another situation. We've had this in the past where people are going to say, well, do you have the Samsung screen or the LG screen? Oh, the LG screen's so much better. Oh, but I only have the Samsung screen. They did it before with the iPhone 7 with the radio, right? Do you have the Intel radio or the Qualcomm radio? The Intel radio is so slow. Qualcomm radio is so fast. It's silly, but prepare yourself
for not having a new phone in September.
Yeah, that's probably going to be part of it.
You're going to have to deal with this old thing for another month.
You know, I still say, and especially because I got the jet black, I really think this is the most beautiful phone in the world and ever made. And if you could just get that bezel a little bit smaller at the top and the bottom, it's going to be...
You have a crack on the corner, the left...
Oh, my God. I do. I didn't notice
that.
Thanks.
Oh,
thanks a lot, Megan. Is it a crack or is it just schmutz?
It's schmutz. It's schmutz for sure. Okay, unless you're watching this live,
you're going to edit that part out where I find out about the Kraken.
It is cracked, I think, yeah.
It is.
I must have dropped it.
I've seen the crack in the corner on a lot of people's phones.
Yeah, this is just it's minor. It's just a little hairline fracture right up here. I didn't know. I have dropped it, and every time I drop it, I go, did I break it? But that's minor. That's not enough to.
Yeah.
I don't think you can even see.
No.
See
no.
it. It's just a little no. bit. Yeah, it's a little.
That's right. Mike in the chat room says crack happens.
Cracks happen.
Cracks happen.
And you can kind of see it right there. There's a little divot. That's the thing you can see most, but there's a little hairline crack around that. Yeah, something must have hit it. The problem with these is...
Kevin's just to make sure everyone sees that.
Thanks, Kevin. The problem with that is if it spreads. If it just stays there, I'm fine. You know, I should probably just put a little super glue on it.
Yeah.
Because if it spreads, then you're going to...
Why don't you use a case is the question I have.
Because it's so... this.
Mine is pretty,
criminal.
Too.
Criminal.
I know
no,
it's
that's
pretty.
Ugly. That's hideous. No, it's ugly under the case.
It's
that's
ugly.
Like putting clothes on the Venus de Milo. It's just dopey.
It's ugly under the case?
You no, think it's beautiful under the case. It's ugly with the case. But you know it's beautiful, but it, you know it's like... Actually, that's not beautiful. You got the matte one.
I this know, because I knew I would use a case, so that wouldn't happen to me.
This is, but it was worth it because I got almost got a year out of it.
It is better to have loved 11, and lost than never to have loved at all. It's better to have gone faceless.
Thank God there's a new iPhone.
I know.
Wow.
You will barely make it till. And,
wow. And I was so proud of the fact
also
that I
have a Pixel.
I'm so proud of the fact that I had didn't have a case and I have.
Okay, so Apple earnings are today. But if you're
not right after
live,
Mac Break Weekly.
Mm-hmm. Curse you, Apple!
So anything we say will be old news.
There's stuff we should watch for, though.
Okay,
you know, things you should think about. That's the big one right there. Barron's, which is a financial magazine. What if Apple is going to put out the iPhone 10th anniversary edition later? They will probably telegraph that a little bit in today's earnings announcement. So we know that, you know, this is the quarter, this is Apple's slowest quarter, the quarter right before a new iPhone comes out, because you know, everybody says, well, I'm not going to buy an iPhone now, I'm going to wait and see. So everybody knows Apple's results will be lowest in this quarter, which I think is technically their fourth quarter. I have to think about it. In any event, it'll be lowest for this quarter. So August, September, October is the next quarter. November, no, August. Anyway,
their next quarter. This
January,
is the quarter
February,
that Samsung
March,
always beats them.
April, May, June, July, August, September. So the next quarter will have maybe some of the iPhone. But see, that's the July, August, September quarter. If the iPhone comes out in October, they'll have to say, well, it's going to be a pinky. And don't expect, and that's going to be the thing that analysts are watching for. Does Apple say, give, and because you're supposed to, this is part of what you do as a publicly held company, is kind of warn people, next quarter, we don't expect it to be as big as previous fourth quarters, that kind of thing. So, and Apple's fiscal year is different. I think this is their third quarter, and then the fourth quarter results will be in 3 months.
So chances are, if you're listening or watching to this, you know more than we do at this point, because they are today. Oh,
we'll talk about more on MacBook Weekly. I always grill Renee Ritchie. Speaking of,
yesterday was his birthday, so don't forget to wish him a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. I always grill Renee on what to look for in the results, and then he usually has to run off. We usually have to be done because the email comes out shortly before market close, and then at market close, they give the actual analyst call. He'll be typing. He and Serenity type the whole analyst call out. That's
wow.
amazing.
And then we take advantage of all
and
their
we do.
Hard
we
work.
Take advantage of their work.
We sit
what
back.
Do you got there? What are you showing me there?
This is my Nano. This is actually Milo's Nano. It says C property of Milo.
Nano, Nano. But see, those, the Shuffle and the Nano were the perfect kids' iPods, right?
Yeah. Well, yes, these were hand-me-down from my sister, gave them to after they were done with them and got an actual iPhone, I think.
Right.
Then they, but I had all the Nanos. I had the fat ones. I had the skinny ones. I had the ones with round.
Did you
sides.
Have the Wrigley's chewing gum Shuffle?
Mm-hmm.
The
no.
one was just a white, like a white stick of gum.
No, I didn't have that one. I never had a Shuffle. I could,
then
I could
Dentine
not abide by the Shuffle.
Shuffle.
I never understood people who could just let the music just play
the music
at
play.
Them.
Well, if
and
you,
not
what you put,
it,
you do,
it.
You put your playlist on it. And that's it. And it's all that's on there.
Mm-mm.
I know. No. Remember Steve Jobs selling it like, oh, we found out nobody just listens to music. They just shuffle it. They don't want to know. Steve was such a good salesman. Everybody believed him. However, the Nano and the Shuffle are gone. They've shuffled off the mortal coil.
They have shuffled
as
off
I
the
said,
mortal coil.
On Twitter, I said, Nano, 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 hey, hey, goodbye.
I don't have to say goodbye to it. I loved this for audiobooks. I loved it for podcasts. And I would be so, you know, I would make my own playlists and then put them on there. And I would give them, sometimes I would make my kids watch movies on this. Because like
that is cruel and unusual punishment.
Did you guys ever watch movies on
this? Let me ask you a question. Do your kids wear glasses now?
Yes. Uh-huh. Annabella just had to get glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was like, we thought that we didn't want them to watch too much TV and
stuff.
So we thought, like, make
suffer.
It really difficult. We also didn't give them video games, but then there was the secret video games you could find on here. And they always found them. So
it's
goodbye.
It's like saying, I'm not going to give my kid a gun and then go around like this. a toy gun. I didn't give my kid a real gun. That's later.
A toy gun, plastic gun.
So this was, I think the obviously Apple killed the Shuffle in there because nobody was buying them. But I think if you go to the gym, you see a lot of people with Shuffles in there. And what I really think is dopey, and you may do it, is you put the iPhone on your bicep. You know, those iPhone. Mm-hmm. That's not ideal, but there won't be any other choice now. The iPod Touch is the last iPod, and it starts at $200. And if you want one that has much capacity, you'll be spending more than that.
So putting the iPod on your, or putting your iPhone?
iPhone is ugly,
yeah.
Right?
I've done that up until just recently.
I could tell.
Up until the 7. I've done that. Now I just keep, it's just there. Like I just throw it next to me at the gym.
We were speculating on Twitter and I think people said, well, what Apple hopes is that if you want a nano size music device, you'll use the Apple Watch.
Right.
It has 4 gigs of storage. That's not a huge amount, but it's enough for your workout playlist, right? So I think that if you want something ultra portable, and that's a good point, you could just use you can use Bluetooth headphones, use the AirPods.
Well, yeah, I was using it on my bicep until it got rid of the headphone jack, and then I got Bluetooth headphones, and now you can put it in your pocket.
Or leave it in the locker if you're...
Right, well, running, I would have it on my bicep.
Have it with you. Right.
Sometimes I would just strap it on my sweatband on my
forehead.
Head, and...
Anyway, obviously, the market was not huge and growing, and so Apple has...
Oh, jam.
Silently.
That music is very, I don't know what it sounds like, a game show from the 80s. Okay, I have a show and tell.
I have a show and tell, too.
Okay, good. Last week, we talked about the Como iPad case for the 10.5 that matches the smart keyboard, and it was $14, and I bought it, and it arrived, and it's got my dirty fingerprints on it. But other than that, it's really nice. We can look at the front of it, and it has this Apple Pencil case. You just pop that off, and then it fits right here with my smart keyboard. This is the smart keyboard for the smaller 9.7-inch iPad, not the 10.5. But I really like it, and for $14, I mean, seriously, how could you beat that? So, yeah, iPad holder, Como, $14.95. I highly recommend, especially if you have the smart keyboard.
Well, and this is what gave me the idea, is you have that case where you have the... Apple Bluetooth keyboard,
mm-hmm.
right?
The smart,
I, as we showed last week, I have the Logitech Slim case, which comes with a keyboard, but it's a keyboard that just is on the smart connector, so it kind of falls off. And so you kind of inspired me. I thought, if I could get a keyboard down to this size,
what?
Then I might carry this and not carry the smart keyboard. So this is from a company called iClever. Oh, they're so clever. And it is an unfolding keyboard. And I have to confess that Andy Inaka has been singing the praises of these things for ages. But this is metal construction. It opens up, and it actually is a pretty nice full-size Bluetooth keyboard that pairs right to the iPad. So now you can just bring this along with you. You don't have to – you can put it anywhere you want. It doesn't have iPad-specific keys. In fact, this could be used with your iPhone and your iPad or your Android device. It has, oddly enough, a Windows key. But it does have function keys. that let you do things like switch from iOS to Windows to Android. That's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's functionality. It does have a home key, but you have to press the function button or the control button to get these additional features. Cut, copy, paste, sound. So it's got basically, you know, I guess the Win key probably is the keyboard switcher key, you know, or maybe, well, no, see, there's a keyboard on there, so maybe that's it. Anyway, I think this is actually a pretty nice, pretty usable keyboard. Let me start a new note. Now, first I'm going to have to turn on the Bluetooth, so let me press function and Bluetooth, and then I might have to, we'll see, yeah, I might have to go into my settings and say,
pair it up,
baby, which is kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm. But it automatically pairs after that.
Yeah, right? I had paired it originally. I wonder, maybe
Is it on? Do you turn it? Does it have an off-on switch?
It goes to sleep, so it's on now. And now I can, this is my keyboard. There. Whoops. That's one thing. Okay, I got to say, that's one thing I'm going to ding it for, because I just did that. See where the shift key is?
Mm.
It's misplaced, and it's small, and it's right next to the up arrow. So I always, and I'll have to train myself, because I always hit the up arrow instead of the shift key, because I'm a lefty, and for some reason this is my predominant shift key instead of the one on the left. The one on the left is normal. So there are compromises in something this small. It does have a full-size space bar. I've seen keyboards with, you know, small space bars. That just drives me crazy. Every other key is pretty normal except for that weird. Why is the slash key that big? The shift key that small, and why is it placed over there? I don't know. That's
a question decision. For the ages.
A question for the ages. There are many like it, but this. Oh, see, I did it again. No, I don't. You can't see it. But I accidentally. So let me ask you. You're a righty, right? Mm-hmm. When you hit shift, you hit the right-hand shift or the left-hand shift?
Oh, right hand.
Yeah.
Pinky.
See, that's why this probably didn't bother anybody.
Yeah, but it needs to be that big. Oh, you're a lefty.
I'm a lefty.
Oh, yeah.
No, you hit the right-hand one or the left-hand one? I guess it depends where your hands
are. Hit the right-hand one.
Yeah, okay, so that's going to be a problem for you, too.
Yeah, but, I hit the right-hand pinky. That's what I...
Yeah, right-hand pinky is my shift pinky. What's your shift pinky? Everybody needs to know. Anyway,
personal question.
So some people use left, that wouldn't bother you. But if you use a right pinky, you're going to either have to retrain or this is going to drive you nuts. But I love it that it folds up. By the way, once it unfolds, it's ugly because of the hinges, but it's very stable. It doesn't rock and roll at all. I mean,
I don't know. It looks super geeky, which is cool.
It's a good keyboard. And then it folds up, and so it's very compact.
I mean, I think if you
and
pop
it keeps
that
its battery
out,
life forever and ever and ever. It has a USB. I hate this micro USB charger. But now let's see. Okay, so I folded it up. The iPad said, "Oh, no keyboard." Let me just see out of curiosity
if it'll pair it on.
Yeah, see, it did.
Oh,
okay. So it was probably because I hadn't paired it in a while.
I think if you pop that out on the subway, you would definitely be the coolest kid on there.
Yeah,
I mean.
Well, and the thing is that it'll pair to multiple devices, so you can use it with your phone. If you have, I have a kickstand on mine, but you can also get inexpensive little docking or solutions to hold your iPad up. And if you don't want to carry a keyboard case or even a case at all, this is a nice little thing. It's not very expensive. It's about, I want to say $60 from iClever, and you can find it on Amazon. The iClever folding keyboard. Look at it. Isn't that nice? That goes right in my briefcase.
I like that.
You wouldn't even know I have it.
We got time for some questions. You ready?
Okay.
Armando from Houston writes, what happens when you stop paying the monthly fee for iCloud storage? Do you lose all your data? P.S. I'm 14 years old and I'm a huge fan of iOS Today. I watch every Tuesday and it is so cool. Thank you, Armando.
Thank you, Armando. He watches on the Tuesdays. He knows that we moved it. It's great, Armando. You're paying attention. I like that. So Apple doesn't say. You get 5 gigs free, so we'll always have 5 gigs. But if you paid for 100 gigs or more and you stop paying, at some point that data will be deleted. But I can't tell you when because Apple doesn't say when, just that it will be at some point.
Well, I'll tell you what happens because I've gone up and down. They bug you constantly.
Yeah, they'll warn you before they delete.
Well,
stuff,
every time
I would
you
hope.
Like you're out of storage. Do you want to upgrade? You're out of storage. Right. It becomes so annoying that you will either delete everything on there or you will upgrade back up. So probably. But I don't know what your budget is, Armando, being 14.
Yeah. Just might 5 gigs stuff. Is free. So stick with the 5 gigs, yeah. Which is the here's where you run out of room is if you start backing up multiple devices or actually, frankly, even one device. Mm-hmm. So back up your devices to your computer instead of using iCloud for that. Turn off iCloud backup. Delete those backups, too. That'll save you some space. But if you're just doing photos and documents, 5 gigs is a lot. Mm-hmm. I think you'd probably be all right.
I've been stirring around this idea in my head for a digital cleanse where I go through all the steps of like clearing out my cloud storage, clearing out my notifications, just all the things to just clear everything out. So stay tuned for that. I'm working on
the digital cleanse.
What do you think about that?
Does it involve carrot juice?
Nope. Okay. Digital carrot juice.
All right. I'm up for it.
Digital carrot juice. But
I think that's actually a great idea, digital cleanse. Yeah.
Rick informed us of the correct pronunciation of one of the foods that I discussed when I was talking about Kabak or Kabaku, the augmented reality food app. He sent us this little audio file. Let's take a listen to that.
Hi, Megan. The name of the Korean food that you and Leo mentioned on the last iOS Today podcast is Bibimbap.
Bibimbap.
Looks good. I'll take two.
But I said Bibimbap.
You said Bibimbap? It's Bibimbap.
Bibimbap.
Okay, that's good.
Thank you so much.
That's
Rick.
Good. I'm going to be in Korea in the spring. I don't want to mispronounce it. Going to Busan.
Bibimbap.
Bibimbap. What is it? Now I'm confused.
I am not an audio learner. Is that how you say
auditory.
It? Auditory learner. So, yeah, I need
Well, how do you learn?
Written. Yeah.
I'm an auditory learner.
Yeah, I'm not. Barry writes, just watched iOS Today, 7/25/17, looking for a cap just like Leo's app cap. Can you identify the hat for me? I'd like to buy one. Yes. It was a Pistol Designs hat, and I have the link in there to buy one for yourself. I don't know how old this hat is of yours, so you might not have that's the one that
Pistol
I like.
Pistol Design?
It's not a trucker hat. It was a...
Like pistol and stamen pistol.
Yeah, there it is. That one in the bottom right, the Grove, I believe, is the hat that you wear that I like so much. Not the bottom right. Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, that's cute.
That's the hat you were wearing last week. Something like
Thank
that.
Thank you for checking on that.
Pistol.
Pistol, P-I-S. Mm-hmm. And probably somebody sent it to me, right? I mean, I don't know.
It's your hat.
I don't think I bought it.
I like
That's cute. I like that that look. It's not for me because I'm not a young hipster, but it's cute.
It looked good on you,
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah.
All right. So, John, while you were away, Nate and I discussed running apps for iOS.
Good.
State.
I'm glad I wasn't here for that.
Yes. Because both of us would wear that thing on our arm.
Yeah,
and just
it would
be
bad.
John wrote in about some that we forgot. We missed out on two apps. The first one is Strava, as a lot of runners use it, as it links to a lot of ecosystems. I use a TomTom GPS watch, and a TomTom automatically can link to Strava. It's a very popular app, as people do change watches, especially people who use Garmin, TomTom,
Polar,
and Fitbit.
I love Strava.
I had not used. I definitely heard of Strava, but I had not used it, and I haven't. I've downloaded it and I've connected to all my friends. So like I can see when Tim Stevens works out from CNET. I can see all my local friends. But I haven't actually done anything yet to prove. And I don't know how much I connect to you guys with my activity, you and Renee Ritchie and my dad and Anthony. But I don't know now I have this huge group. I feel like I need to run. I don't know if I want everyone watching me.
I should mention, and thank you for reminding me in the chat room, that Kevin Rose has updated his fasting app. It's an iPhone-only app called Zero, and you can pick your... It's actually great because you can pick your fast, but before you even start fasting, you might want to learn more about it. And it's got three videos, these are actually YouTube videos, on why fasting works and whether it's a good idea. It's a very simple app. You choose your fast type. This is one that Hugh Jackman and The Rock use.
Mm.
I call it skipping breakfast. I don't really call that a fast, but okay. It's certainly easy to do, the 16-hour intermittent fast, but there are many fasts in the in the world, the circadian rhythm fast. I do a, believe it or not, crazy fast, which is a 42-hour.
Is that the official name for it? Crazy fast?
Yeah, the crazy fast. He won't let me do 42 hours, but maybe that's because he's afraid I'll fall over. But let's say 24 hours, and you save it, and then I'm not going to, well, I guess I will, because it wants to know what sunrise and sunset is. And then once you've set it up, if you've eaten your last meal, your last supper, as it were, you press the start fasting button. It'll keep track of how many hours, what your goal is. It'll track your fasts over a period of time. And he's just done a big update to this, which is called Zero, because if you called it fast, you'd never find it in the mm-hmm. Apple Store. Zero from Kevin Rose, his free app. Kevin does, I think, the 16-hour fast as well.
I usually fast from around like 9 p.m. to around 8 a.m. morning.
That's a good, that's a long fast. That is the 10-hour fast. It's good. 16 hours is silly. You eat lunch and dinner. It's called skipping breakfast. I don't call that a fast, but okay. If it makes you happy, Rock, the Rock. He looks pretty good. Whatever he's doing, keep doing it, kid, because it's working.
Is it time to put on some hats?
Did you see The Rock versus Siri?
Yeah, we showed it last week, remember?
We showed it last week?
Yes, on this very show. Do you remember? You remember.
On this show we showed it?
Yep.
Really?
Didn't you remember I said I was fond of The Rock?
So I was looking for a gangster hat.
That's a gangster hat.
Yeah. I was looking for I bought a sharkskin suit, a gangster suit. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for a gangster hat, but I didn't realize I'd ordered it in bright red.
You didn't realize that you'd ordered it?
Well,
in
I did
red?
Once I got it. Oh. I was hoping for, it's a Homburg, and I was hoping for something a little bit, maybe felt like a gray Homburg would have been a good gangster hat. Mm-hmm. You are wearing the Jackie Onassis hat, and it looks
It's a little
fetching.
Taller than a pillbox.
It's a little taller.
I don't even know if I'm wearing it.
It's a modern pillbox. Yeah, you are. No. That was good the way you were wearing it.
Okay.
The bow on the left. There, bow on the left. I like that. Yeah, okay. It's very cute.
It's a modern pillbox?
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe not so modern. It's really more, it's really more an Audrey Hepburn kind of a confection. Just call it a fascinator and be done with it.
Yeah, it is for sure a fascinator. That's mm-hmm. what I would say. All right. Let me find my, this smart keyboard. Anyone who's had trouble with it, because I can't.
I find I have to connect and reconnect sometimes.
Yeah. banging on it isn't going to work.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah. This is why I got the Magic Keyboard, but I don't know.
Okay. Does a Magic Keyboard work better?
I think
you're still not getting your.
That's fine. Okay, so Wimber, I was on the Screensavers about a month ago, and someone asked for grammar apps, and we can only find grammar
Grammarly.
Extensions. But Grammarly doesn't have an app. It only was a Chrome extension. And so this one came recommended from a viewer whose name is Mark. And thank you, Mark, for recommending Ginger for all your arguments with the grammar, please. Okay.
So you can enter in a sample sentence?
Yeah, you can enter in and...
Just give up. would you like to try mine?
I would, but...
Okay, yeah, just do it there. All right, the smart keyboard.
But you see, it corrected it.
Oh, it made it uppercase. Okay, that's sort of spelling, but go on. Say what? Say R. Say R. Okay. Say aren't. Aren't are very. Let's see if it can catch this. The smart keyboard are very smart. Noi.
Okay.
It did. Look at that.
Yeah. It doesn't.
It saw multiple periods, and it says R. What are you insane?
It also has a re.
Try this one.
Okay.
Data are good. Well, you have to. Yeah. Are good. See, I would think that's wrong, but that's actually right because data is plural. Space. What? How do you? Data are good. See, it thinks it's right. It mm-hmm. knows it's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a grammar nasty.
So then you can...
Doesn't that sound wrong? Data are good.
It does.
I would say data is good, but it isn't. It's are good.
So you can also make this a favorite if you are using this really often. You can come up with synonyms.
This is nice.
You can translate
it. This is ginger.
Yes.
How much is ginger?
Ginger is $3.99.
That would be worth buying, I think. Look how you are so iOS 11 now.
Aren't I?
And now your keyboard's working.
I don't. Oh, no, it's not.
Yeah. No.
No.
Well, now it's really confusing because you don't have an on-screen keyboard or
I know. That's what.
That's an improvement. Thank you. Yeah.
And I wanted to show you something with, as long as you brought up iOS 11, did you know that you can do things like, if you want the exclamation point, you just pull down like that?
You know, it's funny because iOS 11's changed the keyboard. It shows all of the meta keys on the keyboard, like grayed out.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't figure out. I was long pressing it. I couldn't figure out how to get it. So you swipe down?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
To get like the numbers too. Nice. Okay, now it's working. So figure.
But you can't do that anymore.
How to? So it's not that good.
I couldn't figure. All your bass are belong to us. Try that one. Try that one. All your bass are belong to us. It's probably got that one. Like it probably.
Yeah.
What? It knows. It says no. That's correct. Thank you, Ginger.
Yeah, all your basses belong to us. There's also a rephraser tool that will. I don't love it because it. I actually also attached this to my Chrome as an extension.
Yeah.
And it always is suggesting ways to rephrase.
Yeah.
Things
and it's
so
annoying.
Yeah. Look here, like all your bass are belonging to us. All of your bass are belong to us. All your bass drumsticks are belong to
That's
us.
That's not a good correction.
All your bass drumsticks are belong to us.
That's still in. Oh, now it doesn't like our belong.
Yeah, it didn't even like its suggestion. But the other reason why I don't like...
It doesn't like its own suggestion.
The other reason I don't like the rephraser is probably used by people who cut and paste and then rephrase in order to, you know, think they're not plagiarizing.
Yeah.
To plagiarize.
Yeah. So it's a plagiarizing helper.
It is a plagiarizing helper. Don't do that, kids.
Do not rephrase. That's
Girls.
Still stealing.
Mm-hmm. Write your own words.
You wouldn't do that. No.
They wouldn't.
Freya looks like she might. But you wouldn't.
No,
good.
Robin would not. All right. So Ginger, if you need a grammar app.
That's not very grammatical. That's my problem. You know, you're a good writer. That's the thing. And you probably don't make too many grammatical errors.
If you think I'm a good writer, why don't you let me write your memoirs? I mean, your biography.
It's Ginger Page. Not just Ginger.
Ginger Page.
Like a person. Like Mavis Beacon. Now, Mavis Beacon, I would trust. If she would correct my grammar.
Subject.
What subject? You want to write my memoirs? Yes. Go ahead. Please.
Okay.
I beg of you.
Your biography.
My biography.
You have to write your own
memoirs. No one would buy it. That's the problem.
Would you buy it?
No.
Tweet at Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't buy it.
Biography.
Oh, what if you bought the tell-all version?
That's what I'm talking
about.
What do you think I'm talking about? The Wikipedia page? No.
Oh, not a Wikipedia page, but the one with all the dirt.
Yes, because who better to tell it than someone who's known you for nearly 20 years, seen the highs and lows. Mostly highs.
Mostly lows.
All right, what's your app, Kat?
Oh, thank you. Hello. Just call me Tony Soprano. I am going to show you something that Trey Ratcliffe is offering in conjunction with, I can't remember the name of the guy. I should have written this down, who created it. It was a very expensive tool you could get online called Plotograph. Actually, the guy who made it, his name is Plotta. That's hence the name Plotograph. So the idea is Plotograph will take an image and animate it. Let me show you the successful results first, okay? So here's a static image of a boat in the water. This was our boat that we sailed on some time ago. You do some things, which I'll show you in a minute, and it will animate it so that the clouds are moving now and the water is moving, which is... It's kind of cool,
yeah.
Right?
The people on the boat are not moving, right?
But the boat is completely still because it's all done kind of... And it works with basically clouds, water, and fire are the best, are the things it's best at. Here is... I'm using a torch to crisp up some duck breasts after sous-viding them, okay? And I'm going to animate... See, it works well when you do it subtly. Isn't that kind of cool? It's subtle. Right? This is probably my best effort. And again, I'll show you what you do to make this happen. But the clouds move, the water moves subtly. It takes some practice to make it look good and not weird, because it's completely synthetic. And it's not going to work with a lot of photos that you know, you might have. For instance, let's take a picture of a bug on a bicycle. Okay? This is a bad choice for Plotograph, because even if it works, it's going to be terrifying. The way you do it is you're going to pick points to animate. And so I've used the animate tool here, and you just draw little arrows for the direction of the animation. Okay? I don't know. I have no idea what this is going to end up looking like, but it's not going to be good. You can also mask it. So you can say, I don't want any animation. This is the stuff that's going to be static. And since it is a bug on a bicycle, let's make sure the bug does not move. If you make a mistake, you can use the eraser to trim out pieces. All right. And then there's also anchor points. You can modify where things begin and end. I'm not sure what you do with that. Select allows you to remove motion points. You can also choose the speed, and then you can crop the image. And then finally, after you've done the animation, you have two forms to store it in. You can store it for iMessage purposes, which I think is an animated GIF, and that would go for email and text.
You sent it to me. Yeah.
I sent you. Well, I ended up. I found that the MP4s, the videos, work best. So I sent you a. I sent you a video.
Oh.
Do you want to see? I don't know what this is going to.
I want to see it.
It's going to be. So. But actually, that's useful because you can see kind of what the effect does. It takes whatever is there and kind of slides it along. Notice because I masked the bug is not part of that.
Why do you have a picture of a bug on a bicycle?
It's a long, weird story.
Was it from the screensavers?
It was.
Okay.
All right. Let me, why do you have a, let me see. You know, you, so my point being that this is, the good news is it's only $5. This was, I think, like $150 when it was only on the web. So this is inexpensive enough that you probably want to get it just to add it to your repertoire. But unless you take, here's a good example. Here's a picture that has some water in it. Unless you have water, it's probably not a good idea to, or fire or clouds. I can move both the, see, there's not a lot of clouds, so I don't know. Let me just say I'll do a little animation here in the clouds, just a little. You just sent me a message.
I sent you a picture of a turkey.
A turkey is not going to be good. Mm. And I can have the water going a little bit here, but not a lot. Let's just animate to see how it looks. Yeah, see, I forgot one thing. Well, you got to mask off the stuff that you
that
don't.
That is cool, though.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting effect. So you use the mask, and notice how you can make the mask bigger or smaller. You're going to make it pretty big here because, whoops. This will give me an opportunity. So these are things that just aren't going to move here. We don't want you to actually use any of this to move. And then I'm going to use the erase because I got a little bit too aggressive here and here. And then I'm going to make a smaller mask and just finish up here. And we don't want any of the seal. If you leave anything, it will use it. And now, yeah, you see, you can't really see anything because there's hardly anything to move.
I sent you a picture of water.
Okay. Okay, good. Let's see. Megan wants me to. Oh yeah, this is a perfect example. So let me save this. Whoops. Let me get out of. How do I get out back here? Done. Okay. Let me save this.
Long press.
Save it. And now that I've saved it onto my roll, I can go back to Plotograph and stop this dopey animation and add Megan's lovely photo. This is a perfect example. No good animating the sky, but I can do the little waves here. And the waves would be moving. So we're going to start with the animate. And the longer it is, of course, the longer. So little short ones, I think, for these. And, of course, you can play with it. And then we'll mask out everything else. So we don't want any of the cliff to move. Let's just see what happens there. So it actually is kind of a realistic effect, right? So that's the key with Plotograph, is to choose things that are it's going to look nice with. Yeah. That actually works beautifully. And, you know, these are not moving, and so maybe I'll go back here and I'll add a couple more points here. Again, because I've masked out the cliff, I don't have to worry about overlapping it a little bit. Now that's too much. You see what I did there?
Oh!
Yeah, that's like the water's gushing out there. So you can use the select tool. And this took me a while to learn this. If you have stuff you don't like, just select it and delete it. And then that way it won't won't mess it up. I think that's pretty cool. Now, it doesn't withstand deep scrutiny, right? But it's great for sharing on Instagram or something because once you've made the video and look, you can choose the length. They even give suggestions. So if you're putting it on Twitter, they think longer. Facebook, Instagram length, 10 seconds. You could choose how good it is. And then you don't save it to Instagram. 3 seconds, I should say. You don't save it to Instagram. You save it to the camera roll. But then you can go into Instagram. I might as well, right? I'm on an iPad. I probably don't have Instagram on here. No, I don't. All right. Well, you get the idea. I'll save it on Twitter. Let's tweet the ocean. The ocean.
That's Jughead Beach in Mendocino.
By Megan. And then I'll add this photo. So you notice it's a 4-second video. But it's going to loop. So it's going to look fine.
It does look like a global warming problem, though. Because the tides are moving way faster than they should.
Not good. All right. All photos selected. What do I do now? Hello. Excuse me, but I don't understand how computers work.
Is it an iPad app better? I mean, an iPhone app. But she feels like...
It's an iPad app. This is the problem I have with the iPad in general, is it's very confusing.
Did you have some pictures of ticks there on your...
I might.
Okay. Sorry to pry, but it's all going to go that's in the unauthorized biography.
Now I have to explain stuff so it doesn't get misquoted. That's in the screensavers, we were demonstrating macro photography. Oh. In fact, if you're interested, because I almost brought it today. I got a little clip-on macro lens for the iPhone. I'll bring it next week and show it. And it allows you to do some pretty cool macro photography. So with all of the pictures that you saw there were done with an iPhone and this inexpensive clip-on macro lens, which is kind of cool. I'll show you. It's not a tick. That's done with without the lens or something. And then with the lens, it's pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
That's a Beatle. That's the Beatles. Yeah, we just made a new record.
Oh, I can't wait till show and tell next week. You know what? Also, I can show you how you can make your notifications not say anything except for a notification.
Well, can you explain this to me? Because, of course, before every show, I go into Do Not Disturb and I turn it on. And they're still bugging the heck out of me. How do I stop that?
That's a good question that I'm not prepared
doesn't
to
that
answer.
Mean do not disturb?
But
doesn't that mean no one,
okay,
nothing?
Go to notifications.
And then turn them off.
No, you don't even have to do that. Go show to previews always and just say never. And then it'll just say notification.
But I don't want any notification.
But then you won't have any of your secrets revealed because what you're saving them for the book.
What I want is a quick button to push that turns it off just for the show because I do want them the rest of the time.
Yeah.
I thought do not disturb would do that.
And it doesn't.
And you would think in notifications, there would be a, hey, temporarily, if they're not going to put it in Do Not Disturb, no notifications. You can do that on Windows. You can't do it on the iPad. I don't know why.
Wait, so do you have Do Not Disturb and then Always? Always? Click on Always.
Oh, dummy. I had it while iPad is locked.
Yeah.
Okay, always. Now I can go back to notifications and say, I want to see it all. I want everything. And didn't
you
see it. It didn't show anything bad. It just said I have to do MacBreak Weekly.
Not this time.
Not this time, Leo. Anyway, Plotograph, Plota. I think this is one of those things where it only works in certain, like for instance, okay, I thought this would be a great plotograph, a sea turtle. The problem is when you do it, it's creepy looking because the turtle's not moving.
Yeah.
And it's just creepy. Right? So you can't, it's not, it doesn't work in all situations, but it's good. It's a nice thing to have. This is another one that's creepy. This does not work. Well, creepy or what? Maybe that's just a neat effect. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I did a kaleidoscope image using Pixelmator, by the way, love Pixelmator, of a microphone, Heil microphone, and now I'm animating it.
Yeah, that was from last week.
That was from last week.
So every week you got to come up with a different app that changes that.
It changes it. This one, you know, I thought this might work. This also doesn't really work that well because little bits of the tree. There's not enough. You need enough clouds. If there were a lot of clouds in here, you could make that work. But with one little cloud, it's like, why bother? Why bother? You know, and I just have to make a better mask here for the tree. That'll work.
Plotograph. $5, you say?
$5. Worth five it. Smackers. Or as Tony Soprano would say, five clams. Mm. Hey, that's my hat.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin's getting in the spirit of the show. So that's it for iPad today. We didn't say why we're wearing hats, today. But I don't think we... What?
It's iOS today now.
That's it for iOS today.
It is too early.
I'm Leo Laporte. That's Sarah Lane. And we thank you all for... What? There she is. See?
Oh, thank
I told you.
You. Yes.
It's an Audrey Hepburn hat.
Where's my cigarette?
She no, didn't have a smoke. Cigarette in there, but, you know, she used to have a cigarette holder.
That's just real. That's not Breakfast at Tiffany's Audrey Hepburn.
That's just some sort of fashion show, Audrey.
Yeah. Just like her.
Let's do that. That's something people do all the time, standing around with their hand karate chopping their chin. Yeah, it's completely natural. Audrey, I say, could you just put your hand under your chin as if you're karate chopping it? Certainly. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on iOS Today. Bye-bye.